Unless anybody else has got any questions, I'll then move on to Stefan so he can give us a bit of an update on to the next furlough scheme. Over to you, Stefan.
Hey Steve. For anybody who's not come across Hailbourne before, so I'm Stefan Mars from Hailbourne's Employment Lawyer. We are the BMF's employment lawyers, and we are providers of the BMF Intelligent Employment Plus service. We act for over 40 members now, from the very big to the very small. And I'm just going to give you some points this afternoon, some key points about the new flexible furlough scheme. Next slide, please, Paige. So just a very brief recap of the current furlough scheme. So furlough was a completely new concept to UK employment law. When it arrived in March, it was obviously designed to avoid you having to lay off or make redundant your employees simply because you couldn't afford to pay them when your business was either closed or obviously not operating at full capacity. What it doesn't mean is that if you rely on the furlough scheme, you can never make redundancies at a later date, or that you can actually make redundancies whilst on the furlough scheme. You can do both things. But the key feature of the current furlough scheme is that employees on furlough can't do any work at all. It's either all or nothing. So it's either all furlough or bring them back full time. There's no in between, which was a criticism of the current scheme and obviously led to the new furlough scheme being introduced. And because of the introduction of the new flexible furlough scheme from the 1st of July, you do have to claim for any current periods of furlough up to the 30th of June by the 31st of July. If you miss that 31st of July deadline, you can't put in any new claims for the period up to 30th of June. Next slide, please. So, as I mentioned, one criticism of the current scheme is that it wasn't at all flexible. It was all or nothing. And that obviously led to the government, to be fair to them, did listen and has led to the introduction of a new flexible furlough scheme from the 1st of July. So it is a new scheme. You can have employees on both schemes, or you can stick with just the current sort of full flexible scheme, or you can move everybody on to the new flexible furlough scheme. But if you do want to move people onto the new flexible furlough scheme, you are going to have a new written agreement with those employees that you want to put on flexible furlough. You can only use this new flexible furlough scheme for employees who've already been furloughed at some point in the past. So they must have been furloughed at some point in the past for at least 3 weeks by the 1st of July, which meant that the 10th of June was the first time you could, if you want to rely on the flexible furlough scheme, the latest you could have furloughed someone for the first time was the 10th of June. There are a couple of exceptions for those returning from family leave, such as maternity leave, adoption leave, etc., and reserve forces staff who are returning from duty. They can be put on straight onto the flexible furlough scheme for the first time without having previously been furloughed in the same way as you have to for other employees. Next slide, please. So in terms of how it works, it's totally flexible, basically. You can furlough somebody for 1 hour a week or a month, or you can have them work 1 hour a week or a month, or anything in between. So the principle of that is really quite simple. The mechanics of actually working out the claim you put in through the scheme are considerably more complicated, which we'll come on to in a minute. The basic principle is you pay them full pay for the hours they work, and you pay them furlough pay for the hours that they don't work. There is a cap on the amount of employees you can put on flexible furlough. So it's basically you can't claim for more employees under flexible furlough than the maximum number you've claimed at any one time under the full furlough scheme. So if the sort of high watermark of people you've had on furlough, say between March and June, was 50 employees, then you can't have more than 50 employees on the flexible furlough scheme at any one time, although those returners from mat leave and reserve forces don't count towards that high watermark. Next slide, please. So under the full furlough scheme, the employee had to be furloughed for a minimum period of 3 weeks. That's no longer the case. So there's actually no minimum period they have to be furloughed for, but the minimum claim period is 7 days, so a week. But within that week, they could be only furloughed for 1 hour. Claims under the new scheme can't span 2 calendar months. So if you're claiming for July, you can only claim for July. You can't have a claim that crosses over into August, for example, and you can't claim for the same period twice. So
all claims for both full furlough and flexible furlough have to be put in on the same claim, and you can't go back at a later date and add in employees for that particular period. What you can do is claim in advance to aid cash flow. If, for example, you're claiming for the whole of July and your payday is the 24th, you can claim up to 14 days in advance of the end of the period you're claiming for. So 14 days back from the 31st of July would be the 17th of July. So you could claim as early as the 17th of July for the whole of July, and therefore hopefully aid your cash flow, get the payment from HMRC in advance of actually having to pay the wages in relation to those furloughed employees or partly furloughed employees. Obviously, you may not know at the 17th of July what hours your employees are going to be doing later on in the month. And if that's the case, then there has to be a sort of reckoning procedure in your next claim. So that will overcomplicate it slightly. Next slide, please. So HMRC have said that claims under the new flexible furlough scheme will be paid within 6 working days of a claim. So in my previous example, if you claimed on the 17th for the month of July, running up to the 31st of July, then you should be paid by the 24th, which hopefully should enable you to pay the employees on the 24th, if that's your payday in the month. Just a quick point to flag up in relation to employers who've deferred PAYE payments or been given grace under the time to pay scheme. Some employers have been encountering difficulties basically with the HMRC, who've been saying that basically you have to be totally up to date with your PAYE contributions in order to claim under the coronavirus job retention scheme. The argument being that the grant from the revenue under the furlough scheme includes already the contributions in relation to tax and national insurance that you don't have to pay back to the revenue under the scheme. But it is also, of course, the case that you may only be furloughing a small proportion of your staff, and therefore you've deferred or been given grace in relation to PAYE for your whole employment group, and therefore the grant from the revenue isn't by any means going to cover all of those payments. The advice we've had from accountants is basically speak to HMRC and discuss your particular circumstances, and that there isn't anything specific in the scheme or in fact the Treasury direction that says that you have to be totally up to date with your PAYE contributions in order to benefit from the scheme. So definitely speak to the revenue if you're encountering those difficulties. Next slide, please. So the actual mechanics of the scheme, just a few points around that. So the rules in terms of the salary to use when calculating the grant to claim from the revenue are largely unchanged, basically. So for a salaried employee, it's basically the pay they received in the last pay period before the 19th of March 2020. For a variable pay employee who doesn't, say, have set hours under their contract, then you use the greater of the average pay in the tax year 1920 or their pay for the corresponding month in 2019. Next slide, please. So this is the complicated bit, essentially. So the rules for working out how you actually calculate the claim you're making under the furlough scheme, where it's a flexible furlough claim, are quite complicated. So the main concept is this concept of usual hours. So it's essentially the average hours per calendar day that the employee works, taking into account non-working days in the month. So that's the formula that's set out in the Treasury direction. So it's the number of days in the claim period. So if it's July, 31 days, times the number of hours in the repeating shift pattern. So if you've got an employee who works 45 hours a week, it's 45. Divided by the number of days in the repeating shift pattern. So it's 45 hours a week. Obviously, a week has 7 days, so it's 45 divided by 7. So in the example there, it's 31 times 45 over 7, which is 200 hours. It's actually 199 point something or other, but the rules say that you need to round up to the nearest hour. Next slide, please. You then have to work out what 80% of the employee's usual pay is, subject to a cap of maximum cap of £2,500. So for an employee on £27,000 a year, that's £2,250 a month, times your 80% gives you £1,800 a month. So in the example here, if the employee worked for 10 days in July, then they worked for 90 hours. So, and then they're working 9 hours a day based on those 45 hours a week. So that gives you 90 hours. And the furloughed hours calculation is the usual hours. So that's the 200 hours from the previous calculation minus the hours they've actually worked. So it's 200 minus the 90 gives you 110. And then you work out the furlough pay based on the 1800 times 110 divided by 200, which gives you a grand total of £990. So that's the amount you're claiming under the furlough scheme for this example, this employee, plus the employer's national insurance contribution and pension contribution if the claim is in July. And the rules around that are actually quite complicated in terms of apportioning the national insurance threshold, etc. So it's definitely worth looking at the detail early before getting into the mechanics of actually calculating these claims. And there are some helpful worked examples on the employee guidance pages on gov.uk. So I definitely recommend having a look at them before you actually get started on making those calculations. Next slide, please. So in relation to actually the agreement you'll need with employees, as I mentioned, yes, you do need a written agreement with employees, and the agreement you've already got in place with employees who are on full furlough won't suffice because obviously the terms of the new flexible furlough scheme are different. So you do need a new agreement with employees in order to put them on that flexible furlough scheme. What you don't need necessarily is a signed agreement or actually an acknowledgement from the employee that they agree to the terms of the scheme. You could rely on them if the terms of the letter you send them are clear, you could rely on them carrying on the scheme as consent to being put on the flexible furlough scheme. But we definitely recommend, to avoid any arguments in the future, that you actually get either ideally get something signed or at least get something back from the employee via an email to say, yes, we agreed to move to this flexible furlough scheme. In terms of things you might want to think about putting in that flexible furlough letter where you set out to the employees what the terms of the new scheme are. So things you might want to think about include holiday. For example, you might want to modify the holiday terms that you've currently got in place with employees whilst you're on furlough leave. So you might want them to accrue holiday only at the statutory minimum rate rather than some higher rate that you might have normally if they're at work. You might want to think about other benefits. So do those other benefits need to be suspended or modified while the employee's on flexible furlough? You need to explain clearly to them how you're going to get them back to work when you bring them back into work, how much notice you'll give them. And you'll also need to flag up that you may need to refurlough them again in the future. So you bring them back to work, clearly you may need to refurlough them again in the future, either all the time or just for some hours. And as long as you do that, then you obviously don't need a new agreement with the employees every time you do that. And then finally on this slide, you'll need to notify them of their how you'll tell them about what their working pattern will be. So, you know, if you know this already, you can set this out in the letter, but more likely you're going to want to keep it flexible. So you just need to set out how you're going to tell them what their hours are going to be. So will you give them, say, 48 hours notice in advance for the following week's work? So you just need to set that out clearly in the letter. Next slide, please. You might also want to think about modifying the terms of your sick pay scheme. So, for example, if an employee is entitled to full pay for sick leave, they might use this to remain at home rather than coming to work when you're asking them to. So you might want to consider altering the terms by agreement of the sick pay scheme so that they are only entitled to SSP, for example, if they do call in sick when they're supposed to be coming back to work based on a flexible furlough term. You might want to think about company property. So is there any company property you want back while they're on furlough? So do you need a laptop back, a company mobile or a company vehicle, for example, if they're on furlough leave and not using those things? You'll want to set out any parameters in relation to, are you happy for them to do voluntary work whilst they're on flexible furlough? Will you be happy for them to work for another employer, for example? We'd probably suggest that you ask them, you tell them that they'll need to get your consent in advance to do any either voluntary work or work for another employer whilst you're on furlough leave, just to check that what they're proposing to do doesn't interfere with what they're going to be doing for you essentially. And then finally, in relation to this slide, training. So furlough leave is a good opportunity to have employees do training. So you can basically improve their skills whilst they're on furlough leave, whilst obviously the government is paying some of the cost of that training. So do you want to use that to get them to improve their skills or product knowledge, for example, whilst on furlough leave? Next slide, please. You'll definitely need to keep records of all of these things on the slide. So HMRC could carry out an audit after the flexible furlough scheme is finished for up to 5 years. So you'll need to keep copies of all these documents for at least 5 years. So first of all, the agreement to be furloughed, The hours that employees worked and the hours they were furloughed in each particular period, the calculations we've mentioned in relation to how you worked out the claim. So you'll need to keep all these things for at least 5 years, just to ensure that if you are audited, you have all the information available to prove to the revenue that you were doing what you should have done, really. Next slide, please. And then finally, just a reminder of how the government support for the coronavirus job retention scheme will change from the 1st of August. So as we know, currently, the government pays all of the 80%. They're paying all of the 80% plus the employer national insurance contributions and pension contributions. As we know from August, that's going to change. So in August, you're going to have to start paying the employer national insurance contributions and the pension contributions. Then from September, you're going to have to pay up to 10% of that 80%. And then from October, it will be 20% of that up to 80% going forward. So the key point for employees is nothing changes as far as they're concerned. They still get the 80% of up to £2,500 a month. But as from August, you, the employer, are going to have to start chipping in basically in relation to making contributions to those sums. And this is the same contribution whether you've got an employee on full furlough, so not doing any work for you at all, or whether you've got an employee on flexible furlough, so working some of the time and furloughed some of the time. And then next slide, please. And then finally, just to mention in relation to support that we can assist with if you need any. So we've created template letters for putting employees on flexible furlough, for example, and bring them back to work, and hopefully there's other documents that might assist. We're also obviously providers of the BMF Intelligent Employment Plus service. So that's an annual fixed price service that gives you unlimited advice from qualified employment lawyers and a bank of over 150 employment law documents to assist you from the start to the end of the employment journey. Also just to mention that the BMF is offering a 20% discount currently for new subscribers to the Intelligent Employment Plus service, so long as you sign up by the 31st of August. And that's about it from me. Thank you very much. Unless we have any questions. Oh, sorry, just one thing to mention, the Employment Law Helpline numbers on there. So as BMF members, you're all entitled to up to 15 minutes free legal advice on employment law matters by calling that number. Thanks very much.